some thousand years ago in the beautiful Garden of Eden, when God made man and placed him over the earth to have dominion. But he saw man was alone. He had no one to share his throne. So God put man into a sleep and took from in his side one of his ribs close to his heart, with which she formed his bride, his missing rib had been restored. His missing rib was in bright form. This bride has come all dressed in white, a veil she has put on. She's come to stand at the side of him whom she was taken from. His missing rib has been restored. His missing rib is in right form. It was some thousand years ago in the beautiful Garden Eden, when God made man and placed him over the earth to have dominion. But he saw man was alone. He had no one to share his throne. So God put man into a sleep and took from in his side one of his ribs close to his heart, with which she formed his bride. His missing rib had been restored. His missing rib was in bright form. This bride has come all dressed in white, a veil she has put on. She's come to stand at the side of him whom she was taken from. His missing rib has been restored. His missing rib is in right form. Bride has come all dressed in white, a veil she has put on. She's come to stand at the side of him whom she was taken from. His missing rib has been restored. His missing rib is in bright form. This bride has come all dressed in white, a veil she has put on. She's come to stand at the side of him whom she was taken from. His missing rib has been restored. His missing rib is in bright form. His missing rib has been restored. His missing rib is in bright form. His missing rest has been restored. His missing rest is in bright form.
Let's just all stand. Just want to greet everyone, friends, family of our beloved brother and sister. As we're about to begin this afternoon service, we just want to sing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He is the one that is worthy of all the praise." Amen. Let us all sing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands towards heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everyone sing. Sure have a right to praise his name. Amen. So let's just sing. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just live.
Him, let's sing, I love him so. He answers prayer. God is so good. Every heart centered upon him now. Praise his name. Let's praise his name.
Praise his name.
Oh, he's worthy to be praised this evening.
Praise his name.
He deserves all the praise that we can give unto him. Blessed be your wonderful name, Lord. We certainly happy to have every one of you here this evening.
Amen.
Truly it's a great opportunity, it's a wonderful privilege. And we enjoy having you all in our company. Everyone that is gathered here, those on the inside and the outside. knowing that the weather could have discouraged many of you, but you were determined to be here.
Amen.
We know God have a tremendous blessing in store for you. They have prepared some delicious food, and it's going to be a great time for every one of us.
Amen.
And we come here to enjoy the evening, and you know, the weather is not going to hinder us from enjoying it. The presence of Almighty God in our midst.
Amen.
The warmness of His Holy Spirit we feel here. And we have people here willing to do everything to serve you, make you comfortable, and make you enjoy this occasion to which you're invited to this evening. So just feel free by the grace of God, and look forward to all that God has in store. Truly, I believe when you're driving and you're going back home this evening, you'll say, truly, it was good. I enjoy being among those people. Amen. Also, we have some of God's servants here. We really want to welcome them, especially the wives and family. Brother Baptiste, Brother Sham, Brother Terry here, what I could see, and those we on the outside, God richly bless you all. We are certainly happy to have you all within our gate this evening. Shall we bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer? Almighty God, we sang that song, God is so good. Lord, truly it is the expression of how we feel within us. Lord, because of your goodness, your great mercy and your love that which you loved us, your transforming power that have changed us from wretched, vile sinners into saints of the Most High. Now we could be gathered together in the presence of the great Holy Spirit, the King of Glory Himself. Lord, to witness this blessed occasion, Lord, of you joining two hearts as one this evening. Our precious brother Joe and sister Laura, Lord, you are brought together. They look forward for this day, and ever since we heard the news, Lord, our hearts were beating high with joy, and knowing that we would be here to share together with them.
Hallelujah.
Now it's coming to pass, Lord. Oh, God, you, the author and the finisher.
Hallelujah.
May your great August presence, Lord, fill every heart.
Hallelujah.
Fill this place. Inhabit our praises. All that we endeavor to say and to do, to bring glory to your name and to tell of your great love. Lord, and to give witness and testimony of what you have done in their hearts, Lord, brother and our sister. Oh, God, let it be beautiful this evening, Lord. Let it be something enlightening and something we can hold in our hearts and cherish. Father, we know many laborers have gone forth to make this day a blessed day for all that are invited, all that has come to share in this occasion. Let that blessing, Lord, be fixed in everyone's heart this evening. Let it flow out, oh God, according to the bounty of your riches. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would speak a few words. Lord, just to create a little atmosphere that we might enter into the ceremony. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would inspire every word. Everything that will be done will reflect Jesus Christ. Everything that will be said in the right spirit, in the right attitude. It would cause people to love you and appreciate you and desire to serve you with all their hearts and lives.
Hallelujah.
Grant it this evening, Father. Take full charge in this service. We commit it into your hands. And we look unto you for your divine direction and leadership now. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name, who promised to be with us always, for your honor and for your glory. Amen. Amen. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Genesis, where we'd like to read a portion of scripture as we would enter into this part of the service. We just want to feel relaxed and listen to the word of God. And if you have a Bible, you know, just listen attentively. Faith comes by hearing. In the old days, many people didn't have Bibles when the apostles was preaching, but they sat with attentive hearts and they was listening, you know, at every word. And as that word fall into your heart, may it do something for you this evening as it cause you to appreciate the love of Almighty God. Amen. This is an occasion that has been brought about because of love that has been shed abroad in the hearts of two young people.
Amen.
Real Christian love. Amen. Is still existing in the world today.
Amen.
Amen. Something divine, something that comes from God, that God still drawing people and uniting them together, making them one to reflect His mystery in the Bible.
Amen.
He's still the same God this evening.
Amen.
Amen. We just want to speak about Him, speak about what He ordained for us. The responsibility you have given us just for a short while, about 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, just to get our hearts feeling right, that when the time comes, we can have a prayer in our hearts, we can stand with them and wish them all that God promised in His word to give unto them. Then we can go and we can just celebrate the occasion, have a time of feasting and eating and enjoying ourselves this evening. And may God richly bless every one of you all. Genesis 24. I just read little portions here and there, so as to avoid taking a lengthy time to read the length of the scripture. But it's a little story here in the Bible about Isaac and Rebecca, two young people. Back in the olden days, that God moved in their lives, worked in a great mysterious way, brought them together, and has been recorded in the pages of the Bible as a great story of love that is still an influence to many hearts of many Christians. And we'd just like to take it and apply some of the lessons in it this evening to the lives of our brother and our sister. I'm going to begin reading from verse 10. After Abraham had sent for his servant to get a wife for his son, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down outside the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let her be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, believe it or not, it came to pass. Amen. Before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebecca came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. How few of that in the world today. But thank God he has them appointed for his sons. Praise his wonderful name. And she went, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Just want to drop down to verse 34. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord had blessed my master greatly. And he had become great. And he had given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants. And maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And unto him had he given all that he had. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house, unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, suppose the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shall thou be clear from this thy oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water from thy pitcher to drink. And she said to me, both drink thou, and I will also drink for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed for my master's son. And before I finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with a pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down a pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, I will give the camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore unto him. And I put the ring in her nose and the bracelets upon her wrist. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. Amen. We cannot speak unto thee but of good. And just this last portion from verse 61. It says, "And Rebekah rose, and her damsels, and they followed upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south." Amen. "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she alighted from the camel. And she said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took her veil and covered herself, as she deceived him, covered with a veil. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done, and Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah tent, took her in his mother's home. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. May the Lord add his precious blessings to the reading of his word, and have his seat this evening. It was very outstanding to see in God's word how God moved in this little story. You know, and it's something that we are taught in the Bible about God. It says that I am God and I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of my word shall in any wise fail. Amen. That means we can expect God to move the same way today as he did yesterday. Amen. For it also says these things were given by inspiration. Amen. For our examples. Amen. 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 And do you know how it feels when you could actually look at something like this written thousands of years ago? Happened way down the life of a family, way down in Mesopotamia. But yet, what you see happened there, you can look with anointed eyes and see the same thing taking place here in the 20th century among a little people again. Amen. When that happens to you, it testifies that God's word is true. Amen. When it happens to you, it identifies to you, the same kind of people could have the same kind of experience from the same kind of God in the same kind of hour. Yeah. It makes the Bible more personal to you. Yeah. It tells you it's not a book, something way back there, but it's something present right here. Yeah. And, you know, thinking about it, I was thinking God still appoints his son's bride. Yeah. 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 Amen. Yeah. And that's why I want to kind of emphasize this. That, you know, it said, the servant said, the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant. He didn't want any woman. Yeah. Maybe they might be compatible in certain things. They might, she might be a good cook or could iron clothes well or different things. Or she might have come from a good background so they can have a security that, you know, things will be well, you know, financially or so. It says, the one whom thou hast appointed. Amen. And that servant could have prayed, who had the responsibility to seek out the bride, who had instructions to make sure I don't bring her from any certain place. He said, make sure I don't take one from the Canaanites. The mind full of pornography and Hollywood and all kind of different things. And he said, make sure I don't get one of the brides at all. The disobedient, the rebellious, everything. He said, but choose out one because he's thinking about the welfare of his son. Amen. One that can make his son happy. One that can be a help meet unto him. Yes. One that can be a companion for life. One who will mate for life. Yes. Amen. Yes. One who will be more concerned with his needs than her own needs. Yes. One who have hands that learn to serve well. Yes. Amen. Who has a heart that will be upon a family and a home. One who will train up our children in the way of the Lord. Yes. Amen. Yes. One who will be a jewel in a husband's crown. She won't be wrought in his blood. Yes. Amen. His heart that safely trusted in her. Amen. Amen. And, you know, as we look at the story, knowing that the Bible and the Old Testament especially, we are told in the scriptures, it's shadows and types. It is to indicate to us a reality. It is to, teach us and show us God's nature, how he works, and what he intends to do in a future time. And looking at it, you see how they're setting this here. Abraham represented God himself, the Father, who wanted a bride for his son, who was going to be heir of all things, the Lord Jesus Christ. And The servant Eli is a type of the Holy Spirit who went on to seek the bride with gifts, to give gifts. Amen. Then he could display it. And who knew exactly what was going to please the master for his son. Amen. And then the bride represented the very attributes of God and herself. And the whole setting is in the evening time. It's wonderful. Because Genesis is the seed chapter. And God put everything in seed form. And it is very, you have to take the microscope and put the seed under the microscope and begin to see all what is inside the seed. And here we are living in the end time, in the harvest time, in the evening time, when all the potential in the seed is being fully expressed. So now we can look and we can see it and we can relate to it. And truly we can worship God because it is so beautiful. It is a reality. And you know, today, you know, people, you know, have a lot of fear and sadness and a lot of caution when it comes to marriage. Because of the amount of broken homes, broken marriages, the amount of lives being ruined, the amount of marriages that don't last. And they all, you know. But you see, the Christian faith is anchored in God's word. And the Christian is taught by the Holy Spirit what to look for, to see if God's characteristic is in the thing, to know if the thing proceeded from the Lord. Because if the thing proceeded from the Lord, no matter how much powers of the devil could come against it, it cannot destroy it. Because God himself, what God chose, no man could put us under. Amen. Think about it. That is why our faith is in God's word. And God is obligated to his word. And Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will. What a challenge to a Christian. God is still the same God. Still have the same kind of people. Amen. Could still put that confidence in their hearts. Could still give them the assurance. Amen. That he cares for them. That because we don't do it today, then God will be guilty of doing it back there for Isaac and Rebecca. Ordinary people. Village girl. Amen. I wouldn't do it for somebody who would approach him on the same condition. Who would want to believe him the same way. Who'd, because God said a lot of things about himself. He said he's God, he don't change. And if we put our trust in him, we don't have no need to fear. Then if a person meet God on that condition, then God is obligated to respond. Do you believe that? Amen. And here, you know, this bride was to be an appointed bride. And you know, they understood certain things. That God appoints a mate for his sons. They are there somewhere. Sometimes the son may not have the patience. Sometimes his mind be confused or influenced by the modern trend. Sometimes he may have a bad experience in life and it may kind of shake him up and, you know, his confidence and he may not be able to really trust God to wait and believe that God has an appointed bride. Sometimes he may kind of take the jump upon himself and go look for his own bride. And as far as his eyes could see, he's going to choose. He might choose off of statistics or popular personality or something else, you know, or of the modern trend. Somebody that may not be a homemaker, may not be able to be content home, or somebody that may not be obedient, but we see the Bible that God still appoints. That God himself is the matchmaker. A lot of people like to make match, you know. But in the Bible here, God, they said the thing proceed from the Lord. He wasn't wearing a certain... driving a certain chariot passing by and throwing certain talk and this girl, the influencer, he maybe wasn't dropping by the well every evening to pick her up. No, it was a servant, was under commission, went and prayed, and God worked according to the prayer that was prayed to reveal to them that God answering the prayer. And the servant is praying with a knowledge that God appoints a bride for his son. And the time had come that the man needed a mate. Amen. Yes. We said the nature. God displayed the nature. I don't want to spend much time in some of these things, but I really want to get to what I want to say. That God is still appoints his son bride, and God is the real matchmaker. And that the reason Rebecca veiled herself, when that servant stood there in the evening, she saw that man in the field. And she said, who is that? He said, that's my master. And here was the servant in the evening time unveiling the mystery of her head to her. Yes. Yes, the servant knew that was the headstone, that was the headship. Yes. That was the one she was going to come in subjection to. And that servant there in the evening time, as he looked and saw the headstone coming down to meet the bride. And the bride desired to know, who is that? She traveled a long journey all the way up to the headstone. Then the servant stood right there in that conjunction and began to unveil to her. He said, "That is thy master." And something began to strike her that from the time she caught the revelation of who that was, she veiled herself. She covered her head. It's a great thing when we see a woman can walk in that door, coming to her head. And she's coming to her head veiled. It speaks of something. That is right where they get it in the Bible. Today they have a tradition. Somebody might say, "Well, I knew ever since I'm a grandmother and my great grandmother to do that, and that's how weddings be." But it comes from right in the Bible. Amen. When she was coming to her head, she veiled herself. She covered her own head. What does it speak of? What does it tell us? If we are true wife, if we are truly in the position and under the effects of what that position requires of us to be a true wife, and if we have come forth in the symbol of wearing a veil in our marriage, when we entered into that marriage covenant, when we took those vows, when that ring was placed on our finger to seal that marriage covenant, then to go forth and live what we gave testimony of. See, she's given testimony here this evening of her willingness to submit. Amen. Her submission. Let me read another scripture here while we try to continue very quickly. Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Not of the abundance of his possessions, he gave himself for it. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." You see, we do things by influence and even according to nature. And man being part of nature, they do things that come as part of the very nature to do. But it was God who designed nature. And in nature, it was to reflect the thought that God had when he was designing it. Yes. And hear what he goes on to say. "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery." You mean say we in a mystery? You mean everybody married is in a mystery? Amen. To some people it's still a mystery. But to some people, it's a revealed mystery. Yeah. They know what to do. They know what they're supposed to do. Yeah. Amen. To some people, yes, it's a bunch of people living under the same roof, living in the same address. To some people, they ended their marriage and never one day, never live out part of this mystery. Yeah. But who instituted marriage? God did. Yeah. It didn't spring up from somewhere. It wasn't invented by some man. God was the first one, made the first man, formed the first woman, instituted the covenant, gave the laws, designed the man a certain way, give him a masculine spirit, give the woman a feminine spirit, give them different roles, everything in that covenant that he placed them in. And that has been handed down from generation to generation, even this very evening as we stand here. Amen. That's why we read God's word, because this is where it comes from, and the very God who instituted it is the only one who can truly bless it this evening. Amen. Not what we can wish for them. If we could have a desire in our heart for them, that would be according to the word. Praise God. If it's according to the word. And that's why we are trying to establish, God still does things according to his word. Amen. And that's why we could have confidence in this age when the marriage institution is so attacked by evil powers, and the divorce courts are so filled and delinquents in the street, products from broken homes, and children growing up with all kind of complexes because of their parents not even understanding what they went into. Yeah. We are thankful this evening for the little fancier we have and the tinsel that will go with it. But that is only the trimming we on the nucleus now of what really brought these people together. Amen. It's not the tinsel without the reality. We into the reality of it. The word of Almighty God. The thing proceeded from the Lord. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, every one of you in particular, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife, see that she reverences her husband. Amen. So notice here in the Bible, it speaks of submission, that a wife must be submitted. And that is why a woman wears a veil. You know, in the very scripture we see Rebecca veiled herself as her eyes looked upon her bridegroom, and she was told that that is a master, that is the one she had been brought to be joined to come to establish a home and raise a family. And I want to read something from the Message of the Hour. The prophet says in Jehovah Jireh, a woman cannot do what she wants to do. The Bible says that a woman is a byproduct of a man. See, she's not even the original creation. That's exactly right. She was took from a man. Man was both feminine and masculine. And God took the feminine spirit, put in a rib. That's what they were singing this evening. The songs of Welcome the Bride In. That missing rib has been found. Amen. You know, even medical science have discovered that there's one rib less on the left side of a man. As one great writer put it, if God intended a woman to rule a man, he would have taken part of the man's head to make the bride. If he wanted the woman to be a mark for a man just to walk upon, he would have taken the woman from the man's feet. But he took her from his side, close to his heart. Amen. That fifth rib right there. To be a helpmeet, to be at his side. Amen. Think about the wisdom of Almighty God. She was took from man. Man was both feminine and masculine. Listen, he said, did you notice when Rebecca went to meet Isaac? When she jumped up the camel, she veiled her face. Why? She was coming to her head. When she gets married, she puts a veil over her face. Why? She's coming to her head. And the church being the bride, because only a type, when you see a natural bride, is a spiritual bride, should veil herself to any creed. She's coming to her head, the word. Christ is the word, and he is the head. He said, how would that Rebecca water that camel in the cool of the evening? Eliezer didn't find her in the morning. He never found her at noontime. He found her in the evening light. It shall be light at the evening time. In this very hour, God again is choosing a bride. Not from the world out there, but he's choosing one that is part of the word by predestination, one appointed. Amen. A woman, it's a nature of a woman to surrender to a man. And the nature of the church to surrender to Christ. Surrender to his will. Just surrender. She has no thinking of her own. She takes his word, not somebody else's. If Eve would have done that, we'd have never had to die. But she listened to reasoning. But the real bride of Christ, she takes the headship of the word. And only believes God's word. And when the light struck little Rebecca, as it struck our sister here, that brought the Isaac, she veiled her face. She wanted no more to do with her own thinking. Isaac was her own thinking. So as we close off, Mr. Ring Commander is going to cut it short right here. Submission for a wife is basically faith. You know, many women fear today in this age of woman liberation to be submissive to their husband. They fear they're being dominated. They fear some man control them. But it's just a woman finding her position where God has designed her to fit that position, and outside of that position, she will just be a perversion. That position allows her to serve best and to the fullest of her potential and capability that God placed inside of her. And the quickest way a woman could realize that that is what God required for her, and have no fear, because when she's in God's provided way for her, for anything other than God's provided way is a perversion. When God provided a way for her, is made known to her, and she goes in this, then God becomes obligated to everything that he promised unto her in that position. Amen. So woman have no need to be fear. Because submission is just the woman thinking more of the husband's needs than her own needs. That's all it is. The same way as God designed that a man's love would meet the needs of his wife, he designed that the woman's submission would meet the needs of her husband. Real submission would come out of a woman and be expressed if that woman get a revelation she was made for the man. The man was not made for the woman, the Bible says. The Bible says the woman was made for the man. Adam was first formed and then Eve. And God told Adam needed a mate, a right mate help unto him. So God took part of the man and formed the woman to a place there to meet the needs that he saw needed to be met in the man. And God designed the type of wife that would fulfill that type of need as long as she recognized her position. It's such a beautiful thing. Your home is so secure. It can be so well established. The children can grow up with such living examples, having an influence upon their lives, seeing the mother and father,
Amen,
reflecting the great mystery of Christ in his church.
Amen.
Christianity wouldn't be some hocus pocus, strange kind of thing outside yet to live.
Amen.
People would see and understand Christianity, they watch the father and mother live.
Amen.
They will see what Christ is like. They will see what the church is like.
Amen.
They will see all what God intended it to be.
Amen.
They will see where they fit into their home.
Amen.
They will understand correction. They will understand all these things, the blessings, the inheritance, all these things would be so easily understood if the home is established the right way.
Amen.
Amen. So it's such a beautiful thing when we think of it. You know, sometimes in the Bible also speaks of what I want to just make mention of this before we think of it. In Isaiah 9:6 it speaks of, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And it's such a remarkable and outstanding thing to know that Jesus Christ is coming. And he's going to take his bride when he comes. There's going to be a wedding supper. Just like the wedding supper after the marriage ceremony is the same way it's going to be. All these things only portray what they really is like. You see a woman come to her head, recognizes him as her head, veils herself, gives testimony to the world and all the witnesses. I am not ashamed. I don't feel I have no fear of being used or dominated. I come willingly and I give testimony that I am not ashamed to submit to my husband. I'll cover my head when I come walking to him. That's great. That's honorable. When God looks down, God sees that there's women still in this age, this woman's age and the age of woman's liberation, that there is still a woman who knows the place and is not over-ambitious to seek another place or try to pervert themselves by taking their husband's place, but is contented and to remain in that place where God has placed them, knowing that is the place where they can serve their husband the best,
Amen,
where they can raise the children the best, and where they can reflect that real purpose that God has placed them on the earth for. And it says that when the government shall be upon his shoulder, that Jesus Christ is going to come and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the earth. And it was something that was taken out of the wedding ceremony in the East, because in the wedding ceremony in the East, when the bride comes like this, it said the bride, when she comes, she takes her veil off and places it on the bridegroom's shoulder, signifying that not only is she under his dominion, but that she has transferred her rights to him. That he is her head, but also that he bears the responsibility and the care, and that he and he alone, no one else, no other man, no other power has any right or any responsibility. It is the woman to let the man know that it's his place, and she wants him to be Lord over her. She belongs to him and him alone. She is wholly committed to him and accepts the obligation. He's ahead, for Christ is the head of the church. As Sarah called Abraham Lord, even so the bride is happy that he's Lord. He speaks and she's obeying. For that is right. For that is her delight. And you know, normally in the church here, somebody, literally saints here, they know normally what happens is that we have the piano and so on this side. But I was reading in Kong Nong, the prophet was saying, in 1964, he says, I've had the privilege of marrying fine young couples. I never think of it unless I kind of turn them around. A little superstition. And I face with my back to the East, As I look at them, I think of their hearts beating as one, Christ and his bride. There's a natural bride, there's a spiritual bride, there's a testimony, there is a spiritual bride. And there's a spiritual bride because there's a natural bride. All these natural happenings only for one spiritual thing. So I thought I was going to do that. Let them face towards the east where Jesus is going to come from. Stand up and we're going to think of their hearts beating as one. And we're going to ask God's blessing upon them. I truly believe it is a wonderful occasion. Amen. At this time, we have a little song. We'd like them to come forward. We're going to render that song as we get ready to change the order of this service. Kind of get focused right in. Forget what's happening on the outside.
Ah.
Amen. Shall we all stand for peace? You know, Joseph means he shall add. And Laura means a laurel. You know, a laurel is what they give to a person after they run a race. And their victory is going to be crowned now. They put that wreath of leaves, you know, around their head, you know, and that will say, don't sit on your laurels. Amen. And I believe this evening he shall add a laurel. Amen. Amen. God has given him a crown. Amen. Proverbs 31 speaks about a virtuous woman who is the crown of her husband. Amen. I was thinking about in the Bible also, sometimes men got their wives after they won a victory. Like Caleb, you know, he says, the man there, he says, who's ever going to overcome there and win that battle, going to get this deal for the wife? You know, Caleb was from Judah. And Othniel, he went forth and he slew the enemy. He won the victory, he overcame the battle. And after he had overcome in the battle, the Othniel means Lion of God. Lion of God of the tribe of Judah. Amen. He was worthy to take the book. You know, the book is the bride. After he had won the victory, after the overcoming the battle, then the bride is given to him. But only a man is only really fit to be a husband in his home and to rule after he approved to be an overcomer, can overcome himself. Amen. Then he can come and really live for others. Then he can come and really raise a family. Amen. I know he have fought some great battles. He have won them too. Amen. And he's going to be giving his bride this evening. Amen. He's worthy. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. Who will I ask for this woman to be bride to this man? Amen. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the face of this company, in the presence of God, to join together in holy matrimony, this man and this woman, which is honorable as declared by St. Paul among all men. It is therefore not by any to be entered into unadvisably or lightly, but reverently, discreetly, advisably, soberly, and in the fear of God. In this holy state, these two persons present come now to be joined. If there is anyone here that can show a just cause why they should not be lawfully joined in this holy matrimony, let them now speak or forever hold their peace. I will require and charge you both that you will surely answer at the day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed, that if either one of you know any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined in this holy matrimony, do you now confess it? For be it assured unto you that any persons that are joined otherwise than God's word does allow, their marriage is not lawful. But believing that you have duly considered the solemn obligation that you are about to assume, that you are prepared to enter upon the same, reverently, discreetly, wisely, and in the fear of God, I shall propose to you the marriage covenant. You will declare the same as you join your right hands. Will you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife, to live together in this holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, and cherish in sickness and health, riches or poverty, and will forsake all others and cleave thee only unto her as long as you both live? Will you take this man to be a lawful wedded husband, to live together in holy matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, cherish in sickness and health, riches or poverty, and will forsake all others and cleave thee only unto him as long as you both live? Amen. I will require a token of you that this covenant betwixt you that has been made will always be kept. Take that glove off. mean, they have two beautiful rings here. Maybe you get a seat in the reception. One has seven diamonds, black and all, seven rainbow colors. And the other one, band of gold, tried in the fire. Amen. Have been beaten into shape, made to fit the bride's finger. And, you know, in the Bible, gold represents the character of Almighty God. And Jesus Christ was that great diamond that was cut. Amen. That reflected forth those seven virtues of His Holy Spirit. And that Spirit today is in the church. Amen. This ring is a seal of the covenant. It's also a memorial. All that has been solemnly vowed to one another is signified in this ring this evening. Amen. The bride is going to wait as a seal of the promise that she have made unto him. Amen. To be truly a real Christian wife. Amen. That will be a blessing to her husband all the days of his life. But when the time comes and maybe they cross over on the great divide. Amen. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, they'll hold one of the hands, go up in the rapture, sit together at the wedding supper, and then go down to the millennium, amen, as an eternal mate in glory. We're certainly thankful for God's grace and blessing towards them. At this time, I'd like to give the bridegroom the ring, so he maybe could place them upon the bride's finger. Amen. Such grace. Praise His wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Now will you join your right hands together again? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. And this time, all of you that love them, appreciate them, gathered here in the divine presence of Almighty God, may you pray a prayer in your heart for them. They've been married on a very rainy day. The rain pouring out from heaven. Weather conditions. You know, not what people may want in this type of occasion, but we just believe on the inside of their heart the Holy Spirit is pouring out also. Praise be to Almighty God. Almighty God, author of life and giver of every good and perfect gift, how we appreciate you this evening, Father. Lord, when we read your word and it is revealed to our hearts, it draws us so much closer to you and makes us fall in love with you all over again. But Lord, we realize that your word comes in many forms. For we are taught that your children are written epistles read of all men. And when we can read in the lives of Brother Joseph and Sister Laura, another great love story out of the pages of the Bible, Lord, it make our hearts love you even more. Father, to see the scriptures being made flesh in them again. Oh God, how we thank you for this day. We know what it means to them, Lord. For thou hast given us witness by your Holy Spirit and understanding in thy word what this signifies. It speaks of you and your bride. It speaks of Christ and the church. It speaks, oh God, the great wedding that is taking place on the earth where the bridegroom and the bride is becoming one. All creation had longed for that one. And here is one of the last shadows being made before that great reality, Lord, becomes flesh amongst us again. Father, we thank you for the lives that they have lived. What we have known of them, Lord, the service unto you, the dedication, the character that we have seen in them, in the time of trials, in the time of testing the virtuous life of Christ, we know that when such character would come together, it could only be by the glory of God and for the glory of God. Lives that would influence many others. Lives that would bring to life again what the scripture have given unto us in the form of admonition, how we should live and how we should conduct ourselves and be real representatives of you in the community in which we live, in the environment where you place us, Lord, to shine for the life of what a real Christian marriage, a real Christian home, a real Christian relationship should be. Let it remind us and remind us and remind us over and over and over again. And let the light shine forth bright in the days that they would live upon the face of the earth. All that would see them and come to know them would look and see that great mystery of Christ and His church that would cause people to long to be a Christian, to desire to marry under this kind of auspices, Lord, under this kind of influence, to have a bride appointed from the Lord, a wedding that proceeds forth from the Lord, a wife that's not ashamed to come in submission and testify before witnesses that she recognizes her place and is not in fear of serving in that place. Lord, knowing them, Father, these past years, and especially our brother Joe, whom Thou hast allowed me to grow up with, Lord, Father, I know His love for You. You've traveled me across the seas many times in Your service in different lands. And how He have been loved by many around the world that have respected Him for what they see in Him and is rejoicing today. Even those little children up in Canada, up in the mountains, hallelujah, standing in honor in a moment's silence because they know He's being married today. You've allowed Him, oh God, to receive of Your great and special blessings because He has served You faithfully. You have wholly followed the Lord. Hallelujah. And now as they would enter into this phase of life, a new chapter in the book of their lives, Lord, what it holds for them, we don't know. But we know who holds it. And that's where our confidence is. And we pray that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Brother Branham, that very God, they have served their God who have brought them safe thus far, would lead them on in the days to come and become even closer to them as they would draw closer to You. In this day when the divorce court is so filled with broken marriages and homes being ruined and children grown up in delinquency, let it never happen to them, Lord. May no powers of darkness ever be able to separate them from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Bind their hearts together. Make the beat as one. Let them be one soul, one spirit, one flesh. Bless the home that they would go forth to make, O God, and establish. Give them a fruitful life. Bless them with health and strength. May You meet every need that they would ever have. May each one draw the other one closer to You, into a closer relationship. Oh God, let that love never grow cold, let it never die in their hearts, but grow stronger and stronger until Jesus comes. I pray today with all these who have their heads bowed and their hearts in prayer, praying for our brother and our sister. Oh God, You who are present here with all Your holy angels, receive our praise. Lord, when trouble would come, and testing time would come, may You remember that we, in sincerity and with faith, had bowed our hearts this day, when they were united and made the vows to one another, and we prayed, O God, the prayer of faith that would garrison them. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Bless them, O God, I pray. And may You be the center of the life, the principal theme of the lives, as we commit them into Your hands. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask the blessing. Amen and amen. And now, by the power of My commission given to me by Almighty God, to be servant and minister unto me by the Holy Spirit. I pronounce this man and this woman, husband and wife, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, whatsoever God joins together, let no man put asunder. Amen. Could we give Jesus a hand clap for them? Amen. I think we have another song. You may have a seat. We have another song while they take the time to just sign the marriage certificates.
Steps a lady, all clothed in white, surrounded by rainbows and love. The sweetest smile she wears across her face, as she beholds the one in whom she has found grace. As he beholds his lovely bride at last, and with joy will the angels sing one adoration from the objections considered, all hollering will cease. Older the woman now have to hold your peace. He whispered to her in a language unknown, and now the beauty of his bride would be shown. And what joy now fill a lover's heart, as he beholds his lovely bride at last. And what joy will the angels sing, for veneration from the seraphim. Oh, the mystery that the two is now become one. The victory of all ages is finally come. Flesh of his flesh,
bone of his bone, we are the same. United, they stand on that special day. And what joy now fills our lover's heart as he beholds his lovely bride at last. And with joy will the angels say, what adoration from the seraphim. His wife by the hand and leads her unto that promised land. I'm the woman he has chosen for his own. We'll sit with him as queen upon his throne. And what joy now fill a lover's heart as he beholds his lovely bride at last. And with joy will the angels sing, what adoration from the seraphim. So many all clothed in white, surrounded by rainbow-colored light. The sweetest smile she wears across her face as she beholds the one in whom she has strong faith. And what joy now fills a lover's heart as he beholds his lovely bride at last. And with joy will the angels sing, what adoration from the seraphim. Objections consider, all her reign will cease. All other women now have to hold their peace. He whispered to her in a language unknown. And now the beauty of his bride will be shown. Joy now fills a lover's heart as he beholds his lovely bride at last. And with joy will the angels sing, what adoration from the seraphim. That the two is now become one. The victory of all ages is finally won.
flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, they are the same. United, they stand under that special name. And what joy now fill a lover's heart as he beholds his loving bride and lamb. And with joy will the angels sing, what adoration from the seraphim.
Lord, undertake for them in every way, and may we have a time for activity and joyousness and gaiety, Lord, as we go to this feast and celebrate this blessed occasion now. We thank you for your presence have been with us here, and the blessing being stored upon us all. We so appreciate you for these things, Father, that you keep all your... In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God, we should bless you.
Lamb takes his wife by the hand and leads her unto that promised land. Humble woman he has chosen for his own, will sit with him as queen upon his throne. And what joy now fill a lover's heart as he beholds his lovely bride and lamb. And with joy will the angels sing, what adoration from the seraphim.